Radio Prague News.
Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has said he would like the countries of the Visegrad Group states to negotiate a common stand to the EC's asylum proposals. The Czech Women's Lobby has appealed to Polish Prime Minister Beata Szydlova for her government to desist from its plan to support a total ban on abortions. And the Czech Republic will not, for the time being, take back the 25 Iraqi refugees who left the country for Germany last week on the grounds that the German readmission request has formal shortcomings. Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has said that he would like the countries of the Visegrad Group states to negotiate a common stand to the European Commission's asylum proposals unveiled this week. Mr. Sobotka said he would propose rejecting both a permanent system of redistribution of migrants and a more centralized asylum process within EU institutions, which would detract powers from national governments. The Czech Prime Minister discussed the matter with his Polish counterpart Beata Szydlova during Friday's joint cabinet session in Warsaw and said she fully backed this position. He is to bring up the issue at a meeting with the Slovak Prime Minister Robert Fico next week. As the country currently presiding over the Visegrad Group, the Czech Republic will also initiate consultations with Hungary on the matter. The Czech Women's Lobby has appealed to Polish Prime Minister Beata Szydlova for her government to desist from its plan to support a total ban on abortions. In an open letter to the Polish Prime Minister, the Czech Women's Lobby points out that this would present a significant health risk for Polish women. They further argue the right to abortion is a woman's fundamental right. Thousands of Poles took to the streets on Sunday to protest against a possible tightening of the law, already one of the most restrictive in Europe. Critics say a total ban would only lead to women dying in illegal abortions and fuel abortion tourism. The Czech Republic will not, for the time being, take back the 25 Iraqi refugees who left the country for Germany last week on the grounds that the German readmission request has formal shortcomings and is not fully in line with European legislation. Czech Interior Minister Milan Chovanec said on Friday. The group of 25 Christian refugees from Iraq arrived in the Czech Republic within a government-supported relocation program for 150 refugees initiated and financed by the NGO Generation 21. However, after a few weeks here, they gave up their refugee status and hired a bus to take them to Germany, where they asked for asylum. The government later decided to cancel the program. According to the weekly Respekt, the Office for Protection of Public Officials, headed by Jiří Komoros, was behind a highly publicized incident at Prague's film faculty, FAMU, when two police officers allegedly asked the dean of the faculty to remove a Tibetan flag hoisted during a recent visit to Prague by the Chinese president. The weekly claims that the order came from a high-placed officer at the Office for Protection of Public Officials. Komoros has denied the allegations, saying the office would shortly make a statement. The incident has aroused fierce criticism, and there have been demands for a thorough investigation. The head of the Bloc Against Islam, Martin Konvička, has been charged with inciting racial hatred. České Budějovice state attorney Josef Richter filed the charges on the grounds of racist remarks that Konvička posted on his Facebook page in recent years. Konvička stated online that Muslims should be detained in concentration camps and, in another case, be ground into bone meal. If convicted, he will face up to 3 years in jail. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The weekend should be partly cloudy to overcast with scattered showers and day temperatures at around 10 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today on International Romani Day, we hear about a project taking school children to a World War II concentration camp for Romanis in South Bohemia. Carp is the most common fish in rivers and ponds in this country. Now Czech scientists have produced a whole new breed. And a Prague festival is putting the spotlight on European cinema. All that's coming up in today's programme. Today is International Romani Day, celebrating Roma culture and raising awareness about issues facing the minority. In connection with the day, a project called Closer Together has this week been bringing secondary school pupils to Leti, a World War II concentration camp for Romanies at which over 300 people died, while many more were sent to Auschwitz. Jan Wellinger spoke to one of the organisers of Closer Together, Lubomira Hedlova.
We are working with quite a limited group of students of the 8th and 9th grade, actually mainly for these young people. And it's cultural and also memorial program with the aim to bring young people of different ethnic groups together and also to present the Roma culture in order to understand that they have many things to offer to the Czech society. We're trying to work in a positive way with the young people to show cultural differences and to show how can we work with them, how to respect them, and how to actually bring the respect to the whole society.
This week you had an event planned at the Leti Memorial, which by all appearances was very successful. Interest was very high. What took place there?
It actually happened on the occasion of opening the main visitor season in Leti, because during the winter we can say there are not so many visitors as during the period from spring to summer. So we were having an opening day and there were over 200 participants that took part of the program. And the program included performances of great musicians from the group Gypsy.cz, or also performances by the children group of Roma dance, who are called Chiriclora. This means the little birds in English. There was also, let's say, a lecture by historian Dr. Wojciech Kinzel that followed this dance and musical program. Dr. Kinzel talked about the genocide of the Roma people, but not only of the Roma people, but of the, let's say, weakened groups of the society. And he talked about the period already from the 30s and also about the manner of their subsequent extermination during the Second World War.
To what degree are children surprised to learn about what happened at Leti, as well as the fact that to this day, the site is the site of a pig farm, which was very controversial in the past and remains a problem for many to this day.
If you ask how do they react when they learn about the Roma genocide, it can be the same as if they learn about the genocide of the Jews or any other part of the society. It's horrifying. The meeting with the fact that one group of people is able to and succeeding to exterminate another group of people, and all this is based on some racial prejudices, is touching, let's say, almost everyone. Our basic mission is to keep the memory of the suffering victims of the camp in Leti. And the role of the government, of the Czech government, should be to deal with the controversy about the pig farm. We really cannot do much about that.
And that was Lubomira Hedlova from the organisation Closer Together. Scientists from the Faculty of Fisheries and Water Protection at the University of South Bohemia have successfully produced a new breed of carp, the most common fish in Czech rivers and ponds. The Amur Mirror carp is the first new fish breed created in the Czech Republic in more than 20 years. As its name suggests, it's related to a carp living in the remote Amur River in Asia. Ruth Frankova reports.
Carp, the fish mostly associated with Czech Christmas, has been bred in the country for centuries, and although its consumption among Czechs has been declining in recent years, it is still one of the major export commodities. In order to keep up with the demands of the market, fish farmers need to breed new, more resistant varieties. Martin Kocour, Vice Dean at the Faculty of Fisheries and Water Protection at the University of South Bohemia, has long been involved in the research of the Amur Mirror carp. He outlined the main reasons behind trying to create a new variety, a process which started back in 1993.
We wanted to improve carp production. We wanted to make the carp production more effective. And of course, to do that, we have to continue in selective breeding of carp all the time. So this was the main task for us. We found out that this breed is especially suitable for crossing with other commonly used breeds. And this interspecific hybrid has higher resistance to many diseases, especially to koi herpes virus, which has threatened the carp production in Europe. And it's more tough to manipulation and so on.
The name of the new carp breed, Amur Mirror Carp, is based on its main ancestor, the Amur Wild Carp. The main difference between the common carp varieties and the new one is the absence of scales. Martin Kotsour again.
The breed is called Amur Mirror Carp, and the name was based on the main ancestor of the breed, which is Amur Wild Carp. This is in fact a bit different species of carp compared to carps which live in Europe and the Czech Republic. On the normal view, it's almost impossible to distinguish this breed compared to the others, but in fact, this breed is normal growing, but their shape is, let's say, more prolonged. It has oblong body shape, so it means that they resemble the original scaly ancestor.
Although the scaly carp is more common in the Czech Republic than its non-scaly relative, foreign consumers apparently prefer the latter. At the moment, more than 50% of Czech fish production is exported, so although fish farmers actually prefer scaly carp to those without scales, since they are more resistant and easier to handle, they have to respect the demands of the market. So far, the Amur Mirror Carp is only kept in fish farms for breeding purposes, so Czechs who will spend summer holidays at one of South Bohemia's numerous ponds are not likely to come across the new breed.
That report was by Ruth Frankova. Now, one of Prague's longest-running film festivals is Days of European Film. This year's edition has just got underway, as Jan Wellinger has been finding out in this edition of The Arts.
The highly respected festival Days of European Film kicked off in Prague on Thursday, promising some of the best in recent European cinema. Among the cream of the crop this year are films like The Hunter, Mustang, or Marshland, the last widely regarded as Spain's answer to the HBO series True Detective. A little earlier, I spoke to one of the festival's main organizers, Zdeněk Blaha.
We try to introduce like the most interesting films from the European cinema. So the idea behind the festival is to give the Czech audience the contemporary European cinema in various styles, genres, and so on. So the idea is to broad like the widest variable program.
You're bringing together not just the newest productions over the last year, but over several or from years past.
The main core of the festival is contemporary films, which are more than 2 years old. But we have also special section, and in those special sections we present also older films. That's the case, for example, of the section called Media, this year with the title The Power of Imagination, which presents older films which we can consider kind of a classic at the moment, and would like to present them again to Czech audience because we think these films are important or great to see again on the big screen. So that's the case of this one.
And since you mentioned that particular section, what are some of the films which you are, say, revisiting or which Czech audiences will be able to revisit?
So we selected films that somehow explore what the medium film can do and work with the fantasy and with the imagination. So that's why you can see films like Melancholia by Lars von Trier or even Into the Void by Gaspar Noé.
Yesterday the festival kicked off with the film The Fencer. What category does that fall under?
The Fencer is a Finnish-Estonian co-production. The story of the film is set in the 50s in Estonia, so the Stalinist era. And it's a story based on the real-life events of Estonian fencer who were running from Leningrad to hide in some small Estonian city where he teaches small kids how to fence. This film is, I would say, very exceptional and was almost nominated for the Academy Awards, for the Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. I said almost because it was shortlisted in this 9 films from which then was selected the final 5. The film was also nominated for Golden Globes, which is very great for Finnish cinema because it didn't happen in the last 58 years. So it was, after that time, another Finnish film in this nominations. I would recommend this film to Czech audience because I think thanks to the mutual or similar history with Estonia in the 50s, things that happened there and that are portrayed in the film are very similar to the stories we know from Czechoslovakia. So think this film might resonate well with Czech audience.
One of the sections which is also featured regularly is, of course, dedicated to European documentary filmmaking. And my understanding is that this year's films in some way pertain to a topic that is very present, ever present, I would say, and that is migration. Is that the case?
I will correct you a little bit because there's a section To the Point and there's a section Eurodocs, and it a little bit overlaps, but the whole section you are mentioning, the topic of migration, is the section To the Point, and it covers not only documentaries, but also fiction films, because we wanted to portray or show this topic from various angles, and not to show only like the stories of the refugees. Although you will find films with this as well, but more like to show that it's not only like the one way. It's not only the mainstream now from Syria, but it's happening all over the world, and we try to focus more on the like real reasons behind it, and not only the reasons of war in their countries, but also simply just the longing for better life or oppression in the country, so you can no longer live there and you dream about basically better life.
What are, say, some of the ways that the filmmakers dissect the problem? What are some of the views that they offer?
It's more based on the stories and based on the dreams the protagonists have. For example, this movie Atlantic, it's a fiction film. It portrays a young Moroccan windsurfer who works as a guide for European windsurfers or windsurfers from West who goes to Morocco. So he sees the contrast with his life and the life of others, and he simply dreams about their life. And it's for him, it's the world over the horizon, so he still dreams about a better life. And this film is very poetic in a way that how it's presented, how it's shot in a very visual style, but also very lyrical, very poetical. So that's just an example. It's not about, basically, not only about the war stories, although the movie Haunted, for example, portrays the real stories of Syrian refugees, and they are talking about their everyday life under the circumstances of war. What is it to live among destroyed buildings and when the bombs are dropping down in your area?
One of the interesting accompanying projects this year is the screening of the classic 1968 Franco Zeffirelli version of Romeo and Juliet. And my understanding there is that there is kind of an accompanying program that the highly respected translator Martin Hilsky is taking part, as well as the film studies specialist Petr Bednářík, that there will be a discussion. Do you know what the sort of focus of that discussion will be?
The Romeo and Juliet by Franco Zeffirelli, it's a very famous movie, and we decided to pick just this one because this year we have also the 6th anniversary of William Shakespeare, so this fits very well in the program because it's very European as well. And we prepared this screening especially for schools. So Martin Hilsky, the famous translator who translated the complete work of William Shakespeare, will be there. And together with Pavel Bednařík, they will be discussing how to understand Shakespeare today and to talk more how accessible for the younger audience so they could realize how important this writer is for not only the Anglo-Saxon area, but basically the Western culture in general.
Another section is the Eurocrime one, which pinpoints or points to the fact that European thrillers and crime stories have really seen a renaissance in the past few years, I guess in part because of the success of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo or Nesbo's books. What are the movies that are being shown there?
This section, as you mentioned, it's kind of a reaction to the Scandinavian wave of crimes and thriller books and films, and also TV shows, not to forget. We actually prepared this section a couple of years ago, and we find out that it was very successful among the audience. So we decided this year, when we saw how many interesting films there are, and not coming from Scandinavia, but from all over the Europe, we decided to prepare this section once again. So let's say it's Eurocrime round two, kind of. And we try to select like films that are very different in a way, how they approach the topic or even the topics what they are looking for. And I would definitely recommend the Spanish film Marshland, which is kind of a Spanish answer to True Detectives in the style, in the topic, which is purely coincidental because the film was in making basically in the same time as the True Detective. So it's very impressive to see how similar the film is, but also how different it is from, because it's a Spanish film and it has lots of like Spanish topics in it involved as well.
When you mention True Detective, does that mean that this production has, say, a strong sense of setting? Because there, you could argue that you have your main characters, but that the Louisiana setting is very much a definitive part of the
exactly.
story.
Yeah, exactly. Because in this case, you are set in a countryside among the marshlands, so it's very similar to Louisiana's swamps. As well, the two detectives that are investigating the case of two missing girls are very specific. They both have their backstories, different approaches towards the crime, and when the investigation of the crime progresses, they bury deep in the existential and a very like inner darkness, let's say. So it's a very powerful film and very similar to True Detective.
Zdeněk Blaha, one of the organizers of the Days of European Film, who was speaking there to Jan Velinger. If you've got any comments about today's program here on Radio Prague, please do share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or via Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.